The Dallas Cowboys have traded the 24th pick to the Detroit Lions. With the 24th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Terrion Arnold, defensive back, Alabama.
I love it.
Oh, people were going crazy with that. People in Detroit were going crazy with that because they get one of the best cover corners. Some would argue the top corner prospect in this class. Who he gets compared to, Nate Wiggins, drafted a little bit later, the kid out of Clemson. Lions could have had him. He's not going to be compared to Quinyon Mitchell. You can't. Not from a Lions perspective, because Mitchell was taken ahead of him. You didn't have an opportunity to draft him. So that wasn't in the cards. But he will be compared to somebody taken after. Mitchell, by the way, taken by the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know if you saw Micah Parsons' reaction. I can't believe how lucky Philadelphia gets. They get a top 10 talent at their pick. And I'm thinking to myself, I do wonder how often you watched Quinyon Mitchell at Toledo. Anyway, Rob Rubick from the Detroit Lions broadcast and at Ford Field, and from Bally Sports in Eastern Michigan and former NFL tight end for 7 years, is with us here at Ascend and the Soaring Eagle Casino Resort, where we were last night as well. Before we get back to Rubes, just a quick thought that you may have regarding the draft. Also, the Nuggets over the Lakers last night, in case you missed it. Jokic, Gordon, and Porter, all with double-doubles. 20-point double-doubles. Orlando blows out Cleveland. Worst loss in playoff history for the Cavs last night. That one blew my mind just because Orlando hadn't led against Cleveland in the first two games. Sixers get a playoff career high from Joel Embiid with 50 points, and they beat the Knicks. They're within one win of tying that series. And then in the NHL, Florida over Tampa 3-2, Carolina over the Islanders, same score. Both teams up 3-0. Stanley Cup playoffs have been so damn good. I mean, really impressive. And the Tigers will play the Royals tonight, the first of a 3-game weekend series. This is what I wondered. There's 275,000 people downtown last night for the draft. I'm not saying there's going to be that many over the weekend. It's got to be a nightmare to be around there. You would have thought that the Tigers' scheduling would have avoided a home series during the weekend of the draft. Just saying. So it's Reese Olson against Seth Lugo, who is 3-1, and Kansas City was a 2-1 winner last night. Salvador Perez had a first-inning two-run homer. He's 33 years old, and he leads the American League in RBIs. Dude's a Hall of Fame catcher, really good player, and a really good dude. So we're here at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort across the great state of Michigan on X's and Bros, 866-838-4843. You can text Sports Radio to 21,000. Rubes, I know you've gotten really caught up in the Stanley Cup playoffs and in the NBA playoffs. Tell me what you...
Yeah, before we get to that, I want to make one comment on all the people being down there, the Tigers.
Yeah.
And I can speak of this because a few of my buddies today, they took school off, former teachers. Or our teachers, I'm a former teacher, and they're going down for the draft, and they're going to take in a Tiger game when they're there, so they're going to double dip. So I think some of these people, all those people go down in there, first of all, you get a place to sit.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you go sit, watch a game. It's going to be a beautiful 65-degree day in the city, so they'll double dip a little bit. But, NHL, I love it, Shep. It's just, and my son, who was a college football player and going to soon to be a doc, he loved hockey. It's his favorite thing. He never played. Like your son's played. Did you skate when you were young?
No.
Yeah, I skated. I played until I was about 9 or 10. And then back then, the skates are like socks with blades on them. So your ankles are like rolling. they didn't support you well. But I loved it. And it's just, there's so much value in every rush in hockey. Yeah. Every time they come down the ice, people say, they don't score enough. No, but they almost score a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what's exciting. So when you do get a goal, it has great value. So I just, and the overtime in NHL, there's, I mean, you can do overtime football in NFL. Well, I like it, but it's they get the ball, then we get the ball. Hockey is like, stop me. If I score, we're going home. You're golfing.
Especially the only thing I wish hockey would do is if you're going to do something during the regular season in overtime, I wish you'd do that in the postseason. So I would love to see 3-on-3 in the postseason just like they do during the regular season. If you don't want to
no
do that,
shootout, though. No shootout.
Yeah, I think the shootout to me is kind of passe. I think it's run its course. Instead of playing 5 minutes of 3-on-3 and then going to shootout, play another 5 minutes of 3-on-3.
Yeah, there's so many chances.
Someone's going to do it for sure. And speaking of that, Rangers play at Washington today. Vancouver's at Nashville. That's a really good series. Vancouver's a lot of fun to watch, man. I mean, Quinn Hughes could have been a Red Wing. Led all defensemen in points. Incredible. Winnipeg at Colorado, to me, is the best series. I was looking forward to that more than any. I think either team can reach the Stanley Cup. They are so flipping fast. They are so good. I love Makar. I love McKinnon. I love what Colorado has built. But I tell you, Winnipeg, led by Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele, they can play, man. They are so fast. And then Edmonton at Los Angeles, that series tied at a win apiece. Love watching Connor McDavid had 5 assists in game 1, 1 assist in game 2. Zach Hyman had a hat trick in game 1, had a goal in game 2. It's phenomenal. So get a chance, if you can, to check out some of that too, because you really don't want to miss it. And look, the NBA playoffs, it's been really good too. I've enjoyed that more than I have probably in the past. The stunning thing to me was, first of all, the Bucks looked terrible, even in their win. I think they looked terrible.
They looked terrible the last half of the year, I thought.
Yeah.
They were not good. They struggled.
They have not responded to Doc Rivers like I thought they would. And then the other thing was, it's kind of crazy. But the Boston series, I mean, for some reason, I mean, who would have thought no Jimmy Butler, no Rozier, and yet Miami drains 23 triples, a franchise playoff high, and wins in Boston, even though Jaylen Brown had 33.
Okay, you just mentioned Doc Rivers. Has he won the NBA championship?
No.
Okay. We talk about – okay, I'm going to throw this out there. You said they didn't respond when they brought Doc Rivers. I mean, but if I'm the owner, I'm thinking, why would – he hasn't been this legendary coach. And then you look at Miami, you're talking about Eric Spoelstra. All he does is win. And don't matter who he rolls out there, he's a tremendous coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's right up there with your favorite coach from San Antonio. I mean
– Greg Popovich.
Yeah. But you look at Spoelstra. He just all he does is win, and as you said, two of the top players out, and he still wins. Well, Jimmy Buckets out there, Rozier. It's amazing. I just don't know what he does differently, what his system is, which allows him to be so good with so many different types of players. But how come? Well, I guess if they keep paying him, Pat Riley keeps him there.
Pat Riley recognized it. I think Pat Riley's one of the few guys in the history of the NBA. Jerry West is another, who has been successful as a player. Now, Riley wasn't Jerry West, but he was still a decent enough player to play on a championship team, a coach, and a general manager.
Wow, good point.
He's just
a wealth of knowledge.
Well, I mean, he's just not really. He's just really, really good. All right, I want to get back to the NFL because that's what this time of the year is all about. What impresses you most about how the league operates? Before you joined us, I said all the different things that they do. What's the thing that impresses you most about your league in general?
Okay, as far as the league and Roger Goodell from the top down, is they keep you engaged, as you were talking earlier, Matt, from the preseason till the next preseason. There's always something. You have the season, then you have the playoffs, and you have the Super Bowl. Then they work you right into the combine. After the combine, then they go mock drafts, 1.0, 1.4, whatever, all the way up to the draft right now. And now when the draft's done, guess what? Also the free agent sign. They make all the movement in the offseason. That's covered. Well, you create your own network. I mean, and then the other ones follow the NBA network and MLB and so forth, NHL. But they're nothing like the NFL network. So they keep you engaged all the time. They're marketing whoever their strategic planners are of how to create a company, of a professional football and to keep everyone engaged year round because it is seasonal.
Yeah, that's a great.
They don't make it.
Yeah, it's a great point. Got to take a quick time out. Back with more with Rob Rubick here at Ascend, Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Get your thoughts on the Lions draft pick. Terrion Arnold is the newest Lion. Who do you want next in day two? Stay with me.
In the Den with Dan Dickerson.
Hey, Tigers fans, a new baseball season means a new season on Michigan's favorite island destination, Mackinac Island. Baseball, spring, and Mackinac Island. Things that return every year, reminding us what a great state we live in. Shake off the winter blahs. Take in a game and plan your trip to America's top summer destination, MackinacIsland.org. Buddy Kennedy has come up from Toledo and already made a big impact on this Tigers team. His background is fascinating. When he was in middle school in Millville, New Jersey, because his trainer also trained Mike Trout, he began working out with him just as Trout was beginning his major league career. Kennedy says even though Trout was 6 years older, he always treated him like an equal. He pushed him to work out as hard as he was, never let him miss a workout. Trout isn't the only reason Kennedy reached the major leagues, but it never hurts to have a superstar tell you you belong. 12 years later, the two are good friends and continue to work out, now at Trout's home, every offseason.
June 23rd, the world's most notorious rock band is coming to Soaring Eagle Casino. Motley Crue. Yeah, yeah, the Crue. Part of the Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series. Tickets start at $54 and are on sale now at the box office and online at etix.com. Party hard, then take a ride on the wild side. Motley Crue. Sunday, June 23rd. At Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort.
I just want to say Detroit.
Look out. Look out.
Y'all got to start, man. Hey. Hey, I'm home, man. I'm home. Hey, these fans going to be crazy, man. Golly.
The Lions have announced themselves as Super Bowl contenders. What are you going to help this franchise get there?
You already said it. I'm going to help him win a Super Bowl. Listen to that. Hold on, hold on. Hold on. Hey, this is amazing, man. We're going to go crazy.
What a moment for Terrion Arnold. Soak it all in. Rob Rubick is with us here at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Actually, should get paid because he's helped host most of the show with me. It's interesting. You've always told me how corners have to be different than others. They have to be borderline cocky. They have to be incredibly confident. He sure fits that mold, doesn't he? It sounds like it.
He's getting a taste of the Detroit crowd preseason, pre-preseason.
Yeah.
You know, during the draft, because, you know, 275,000, and I can imagine that'd be at least 225,000 of those were Lion fans down there. I mean, obviously, teams, people coming from around the country. But, you know, Matt, I was lucky enough to have a chance to be at the playoff games last year. I do a show prior called Chalk Talk, so feel free to stop by the Bud Light Zone. There's a shameless plug for Rob Rubick. before the games, when I always bring in alumni, you know, we talk about last week's game and upcoming games. So I had a chance to be down there. That was crazy environment. I mean, I said it's like the guy who was a Job that walked in the desert for 40 years looking for water. I don't know. And that's what the Lions fans are right now. They're looking for anything. And last year, you know, they were being delivered by Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. Put a great product out there, and the product lived up to all the hype, and they had a great season. Now, can they follow it up? It's going to be tough. This is going to be a really difficult conference. We saw with Green Bay with a young quarterback who looks like now he's going to be pretty good. They're going to be good, and the Bears are just, you know, that's a 7-win team that got to be get the first pick in the draft. So they got a couple guys, you know, their receiving core is just going to be stupid, crazy good. So
yeah, I immediately think of the Stroh's commercial, you know, when the guy going through the desert. Oh, I was really hoping. I got some nice cold water. He says, I was really hoping for a Stroh's. Remember that? That was a great commercial.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Ben, you got a text for us?
Yeah, one draft observation. John Ault and Latham are men among men. Big old boys who block out the sun. Pure muscle.
Yeah. Love the guys up front. Folks, we talk about the quarterbacks and the fact that there are six quarterbacks, a record six quarterbacks taken in the first round. That is tied with the 1983 class. But let's remember this. Eight offensive tackles went in round one, too. That was a record. And there were also five trades. One of those trades, of course, the Lions moving up to get, you know, Terrion Arnold.
That was Elway to Marino, wasn't it?
It was.
That was the greatest quarterback drafted class ever.
Yes.
By far. I mean, that's. I think that's irrefutable because they were.
Can you name the six quarterbacks?
Well, obviously Elway to Marino. There's two. Was Jim Kelly in that one?
Yes.
Todd Black. No, not Todd.
Correct.
Todd Blackledge.
Todd Blackledge. Yep.
That's four. There were two more that were. One was really good.
Ken O'Brien.
Ken O'Brien. No, he was not the one.
No, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he would. Is he from Cal Davis?
Yeah,
Ken O'Brien. He was a Jet.
Got to correct. He was actually pretty good and actually played really well when he went head to head with Marino because everybody was upset. I thought he was a pretty good quarterback. I'd call him a good quarterback. The other's Tony Eason, right?
Yes. Patriots?
For the Patriots, yeah. And got him to a Super Bowl in 85 against the Bears where they were simply trucked.
How'd that work out? Yeah, when they played the best defense and the best scheme ever.
Not great. So when you look at the Lions now, and look, it's not a finished product. Terrion Arnold is one of the corners. How do you view their strengths for this team, knowing that they still have a couple of depth, maybe another starter that they're going to grab? I mean, my belief is always this, Rubes. I think when you're drafting, your first-round pick, your second-round pick should be starters, outside of maybe two positions, because you've always said quarterback and cornerback are the two most difficult positions to transition from the college football to the NFL. But I would say those two rounds have to be starters, maybe in the third round, and then you build depth. So how do you look at them and their strengths right now as you see the Lions?
Well, okay, and that's a great question, Matt. I look at their strength as their offensive line. And two of the people who I've talked football with as much as anyone in my life was my college coach, Jim Harkma, and you. And Jim Harkma, I went to training camp. I said, Coach, I was starting camp. I called him. I said, I'm having a hard time blocking these guys. He said, well, what do you do well, Roops? I said, well, I get open, I catch the ball. He goes, yep, you do that. He says, work on your blocking, but don't worry about it. You keep catching the ball and getting open. He says, they will overlook your, you know, what you don't do well. So he would highlight my strength is what I'm getting to here. And this strength is offensive line. So I have no problem with building more depth, creating more, because you lose a receiver that's maybe not your one, but you lose your two through five, you're a dime a dozen. I'm sorry. I'm not a degrading receiver. There's a lot of good receivers out there.
So you're okay with Josh Reynolds being gone? You feel,
yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. There's 50 other Josh Reynolds in the NFL. And that's not a knock on Josh. Yeah. He's one of 50. They're good backups and stuff. There's fewer Amon-Ra. All right, but you can plug that in. But offensive line now, you get a really good offensive lineman, and he goes down. Man, it's nice. You don't want that huge drop off because it's such a butterfly effect. When all of a sudden you lose a guard, you put a guy that's a pylon, an orange cone, and all of a sudden your quarterback's getting pressure. We can't get the ball off. We're punting all the time. We're getting sacked. We're turning it over. You can't do that. So that is so important. So build depth there. Create some depth so you can handle adversity during the season with injuries. And I have no problem with that. And then also, you always want to go after your need areas that you're thin. Cornerback. We knew that. They signed some in the offseason, but they still draft. Creating that depth. Getting better where you already think you're going to be okay. And that's what the later rounds do. And the good team, we looked at the Patriots for years. They were the benchmark, what we all wanted to be like.
Right.
That's all they did. They stockpiled draft picks. They didn't care about first and second round as much, but they wanted 10 picks from the second or late second through the seventh round. They want 10, 11 picks every year, and that's how they built their team. Shep, we talked about this too. There's 22 guys, let's say 25 guys that play in a game most of the time. Maybe a few more. Of those 25 guys, 20 of them's job is not to lose the game. When I didn't have to win a game. Billy Sims was going to win the game, or Gary Danis, or Eric Kipple was going to make a pass, or Leonard Thompson. What I had to do is do my job. Don't get a holding call. They throw you the ball, catch it, get what you can get, Don't let your guy beat you clean. Just do your job. Don't lose a game. And they have the guys to win games. Amon-Ra can win a game, right? Mm-hmm. They have Jahmyr Gibbs out of the backfield. Monty, they can win games for you. Defensively now, Hutch, he can make a play that can help you win a game. But you need guys that are solid, guys that aren't going to be a gaping hole. And I have no idea what your question was right now. I'm just rambling.
I was asking what your thought was on their roster makeup to this point.
Yeah, and
you answered it. Yeah, you answered it for sure. The people talk about Dan Campbell type players. Terrion Arnold appears to be a Dan Campbell type player. How would you describe a Dan Campbell type player without getting into the kneecaps and stuff like that stuff?
Yeah, I would like to think I was a Dan Campbell type player. I would have thrived under him for the fact that I played with intelligence, I played with urgency, and I played to my limit. In other words, I got everything out of my body and out of my talent as I could. It wasn't like 7 years later after I played, I look back and think, yeah, man, I could have been better at this, but I pretty much maxed out my potential. And that's what he wants. And I remember Dan made a quote from his first year. He said, we had the same type of guys that Brad and I assembled that first year. The difference is they're more talented. He said, we've gotten more talented guys that are going to play hard to the whistle, are going to work in the offseason, are going to play at cliches, but play for the guy next to you. Yeah. And I get what that means. You're playing for something bigger than yourself. I kind of say, you look at religion. Everyone has different views on religion, but it's my thing is, if you just got to know that you're not the center of the universe, that there's something bigger and better out there for you. And that's what football is. There's something bigger and better for you. You're not it. Now, I was never Calvin Johnson. Calvin was kind of in a lot. But you need guys like that, but you need a core ship, and that's what they have. That offensive line, they don't care who gets written up in the paper. They don't need the camera in their face.
That's what I love about
really
those guys.
And those are Dan Campbell guys. Guys that are gritty, tough. They're not going to quit. They're going to, whatever. We're going to keep grinding away. And that's what he wants. He doesn't want a bunch of divas.
Yep. And he's got a good one in Tyrion Arnold. Hey, thanks, Rubes. I appreciate it very much, man. It's great to be with you last night. Great to be with you all morning long. We're back with more on Oxes and Bros after this.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000. And you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show.
After the hour, welcome back. X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network throughout the great state of Michigan. 7 different markets for you to listen to our program and The Huge Show Monday through Friday. We're on from 6 until 9. We're in Flint, Cadillac, Grand Rapids, Grayling and Gaylord, Midland, Saginaw, Bay City, Petoskey, Charlevoix, Traverse City. A lot of fun talking to you via text at Sports Radio 21000. Just text Sports Radio to 21000. And on the Meyer Hotline, 866-838-4843. We're at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. We're in the sports bar Ascend, where we were last night for a really enjoyable time at a draft party. And then we're doing our show here from Ascend here this morning. Bill Simonson, The Huge Show, will stay in Detroit and do his broadcast from there later on this afternoon. And don't forget, middle of June, 13th through the 16th, the LPGA Meyer Classic, the 10th annual at Blithfield Country Club. We'll be out there, hopefully, broadcasting live from there as well. I know we got a phone call. Let's get to a text real quick and then to the phones. Okay. Ben, how about the text for us?
Yeah, it says, this is going back to LeBron. It says, LeBron is a baby. He ruined the NBA for his years. New guys are sort of bringing it back, but I'm not a fan. Michael Jordan is the GOAT.
Yeah, I think Michael Jordan's the best player I've ever seen. I never saw Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain in his heyday, Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, Bob Cousy, all that. For me, and it's tough to say, but Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. I don't want to – look, I'm not a huge LeBron James fan. I don't think he ruined the NBA. I mean, the NBA is as popular now as it's ever been. LeBron James is an absolute freak. He's a 20-time All-Star. He's an NBA champion four times. He's a four-time MVP, six-time All-Defensive Player, four-time Finals MVP, 19 times All-NBA. The dude is – he does stuff – I'm sorry. He's 39 years old, and he is still this good. It's simply incredible. Who at 39 – who at 39 is averaging 26 points a game? That said, it gets a little old when he whines as much as he does. So maybe that's what the texter's referring to, and that's possible. I don't know if I'd say he ruined the NBA, but I do believe he's put on a bad karma / face of the NBA when he goes to those extremes. And he does it more often times than not. And it gets a little ridiculous for me. All right, to the phone lines we go. The Meyer hotline, if you will, and you can join the conversation, 866-838-4843. Freddie's been standing by. Freddie, good morning to you. How are you on this Friday?
Good morning, Chef. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call. What's going on?
If anything's ruined the NBA, it's the money, in my opinion. But I guess you could say that about all sports, but I think more especially in the NBA. The money's just 4 years, $400 million. That's a lot of money. But I want to talk to you about the draft and a couple of things while Rubik was on that I wanted to touch on before. Because I wanted to ask you about the six quarterbacks that went in the draft in the first round, excuse me. Rube said something. I'm glad he said it because, I mean, honestly, if a fan said it, you know, it'd be coming from a different direction. But when he said, hey, Goff, think about taking maybe less money, more guaranteed money, stay here. You got a great situation here. I thought that was refreshing to hear that from an athlete. And it's almost like the Lions are created this, when you got a whole new home subdivision, right? They got the model home. It's like almost Holmes is created this model home, and Goff is sitting in the foyer. He's like, "Listen, Goff, Jared, this is what we're building." I get you this house.
They painted a really good picture right there. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Did we lose Freddie? There you are. Okay. All right. I lost you.
I'm sorry. It's almost like he's like, I get you this house at a discount. Just sit in the foyer and watch what I can do with all the additions to it. And maybe if you take a little bit less money, we can create something here, and you'll be this iconic figure for the next 100 years in Detroit. It's something to consider if you're going to take less money. And I like that athlete said that, because it coming from a fan, it would be different. And so I thought that was refreshing.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. If it comes from a fan, it is different. I have a hard time asking athletes to take less money when I'm me myself. I would ask anybody in any job they do, any job. I don't care if you're an athlete, a quarterback, whatever. How many times are you saying to your boss, I'll take less money if it means more reward for the company? You would if it meant losing your job, but Jared Goff would be able to get a job somewhere. I think it's very convenient for us. We want. How many times have we heard, take a hometown discount? I used to laugh at that. How many people do that? You do it maybe later in your career if you want a ring, but when you got a chance to make the money, most people would say, take the money. I mean, look, Joe Burrow didn't take less money. Patrick Mahomes didn't take less money. Justin Herbert doesn't take less money. Lamar Jackson didn't take less money. Jalen Hurts didn't take less money. Why is Jared Goff the guy who's got to take less money? How much is not enough? How much is too much? I guess that all depends on, you know, the point of view, the perspective, right?
Yeah. And by the way, I ask my boss for more money all the time. He never listens to me. So you brought up the six quarterbacks, and that was a fair point. You said you said this morning, hey, all of them are not going to pan out, right? Shep, is it fair to say, hey, maybe it's not the quarterback didn't pan out. Maybe it was the organization didn't pan out. You know, we can go back to a lot of examples
I suppose that is possible. Yeah, I suppose it's possible. It's just so hard to hit on that many players. That's all. I mean, we were talking about the 83 draft. Thanks for the phone call, Freddie. It's always good to talk to you. Have a great weekend. The reason we bring up the 83 draft is because that's the last time six quarterbacks were taken in the first round. And it's the most ever. Well, how many of those guys really panned out? Todd Blackledge didn't pan out. Tony Eason, for the most part, did not pan out. Ken O'Brien, I think, was pretty damn good. Okay. I mean, they're not all going to work out. You think they will when you first get them, but it's just not realistic. Who would be the guy who doesn't work out? I think Jaden Daniels is pretty damn good. I love Drake May's power, and I love that he's the youngest son. That means he got the crap kicked out of him quite a bit as a kid, and he's one of those guys who shucks it off and says, you know what, let's go. I'm okay with that. Caleb Williams is really gifted athletically. You could talk about each one of those guys. Michael Penix throws a really good ball downfield. J.J. McCarthy's a winner. Which of those translates? It's really hard to pinpoint. But let me just get back to the Jared Goff discussion. If you're Jared Goff and his agent, I might add, and you and I, this is such a hard conversation because I just can't relate. How do you relate to $50 million? It's just incredible. But if you're Jared Goff and you see that Deshaun Watson gets a guaranteed deal of $230 million, should you not at least start there, considering what you've accomplished and he hasn't? Herbert, Burrow, they cracked the $200 million threshold with total guarantees during the 2023 offseason. So Deshaun Watson's $230 million. Joe Burrow's $219. Herbert's $219. Patrick Mahomes is $211 or $210.5. If you're Patrick Mahomes, and it's a lot of money, don't get me wrong, and he's getting paid for what he's been able to do. He's one of the best, if not the best, quarterback in the league. For crying out loud, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm like, I'm underpaid at my position. Justin Herbert's never gone to a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow's never won one. Deshaun Watson's never healthy and gets in trouble off the field. What's the knock against Patrick Mahomes? His wife's voice? Seriously. If you're Jared Goff, how do you look at what some of these guys are making and say, yeah, I'll take less. Sure. Other teams found a way to do it. Look, I would love if he did it. Here's my question to you. Has a player taken less for the betterment of the team? Tom Brady had done that in the past, right? Yes, a little bit less. He was still making a ton of money, but he could have made more. It's a fair point. It's not like a lot of people remember a guy and say, if you're at Ford Field next year and Jared Goff loses a game, even though he took less money, how many people are going, way to go, Jared? I know it's a tough loss, but I'm really glad you took less money for the team. Way to go. Proud of you. Nobody's saying that, man. They want you to win. If he makes a lot of money or takes, you know, puts the team in a little bit of a challenging situation for more money, you're going to go, you better win. Even if he makes less money, you better win. How many people do you talk to and they say the expectation for the Lions is to get to the Super Bowl or to win the Super Bowl. Did Penei Sewell take less money? Amon-Ra St. Brown sure didn't. He's the highest paid receiver in the league. Anybody think about asking him to take less money? Why? I mean, he's not on the field on every single play. Jared Goff is. Penei Sewell is. And I like St. Brown a lot. It's not a knock on him. I'm just asking. We want Jared Goff to take less money because he's got a good thing going. So did St. Brown. He's got a pretty damn good thing going, and he was a fourth-round draft pick. He's got a damn good thing going. Didn't ask him to take less money. It's an interesting situation. You know? And I think we pick certain situations to use as our examples. I may be a little off base here. 866-838-4843. You can text us, Sports Radio, to 21,000. I think of like today's economy, and I think of business owners. Freddie called in and kind of parlayed that after what Rob Rubick, who joined us here at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort, was discussing. So I'll use, I mean, Freddie's got a very successful restaurant where he sells pizza and pasta and all that other stuff, and it's really good food. I think of today's economy, how many people are working for you? Did you ask them to take less money? Are you taking less money? It's if you are, you're probably working twice as hard, though. It's hard to deal with this stuff. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to do in your business what you're asking another person to do in theirs? That's why sometimes I have a hard time discussing it, or at least suggesting it. Not discussing it, but hard time suggesting it. Because I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could do that. Now, if it's an offer, if somebody comes to me with a job offer and says, I want you to do this, and this is our budget, this is what we can do, that's completely different. The Lions chose to sign St. Brown and Sewell. They gave Taylor Decker a big contract a couple of years ago. They've made certain choices. They still have a creative way where they can probably sign Jared Goff, give him what is justified, and not be in salary cap hell. That's my guess. It's up to them to figure that out. But I don't care what anybody says. Anytime you're in a business or anytime you're a worker and you see somebody else doing your job, if you have the proof that you're as good, if not better than they are, and they're making almost twice as much as you are, or gobs amount of money more than you are, it's going to sting a little bit. And I don't know if you can necessarily blame them. What do you want today? What are you hoping for today in the NFL draft for the Detroit Lions? The hope here is you get one of two things. This is based on need now. This is based on need. So I don't know what their draft board looks like. I don't know where they have, you know, they don't need Cooper DeJean, of course. I'd love a guy like Jerzon Newton from Illinois, but he won't be there, right? If you wanted a receiver, Adonis Mitchell would be a nice pick. He's the kid out of Texas. Would love something like that. I think you need something up front, either offensively or defensively, or you need a receiver. If the Jackson Powers Johnson kid fell, and he's the center, he's 6'3", 330 pounds, first Oregon player, Pac-12 player to win the Remington Trophy. That's given annually to the most outstanding center. Really powerful run blocker. He's got great size, can get to the next level. This is what they say about him, right? Good pass protector. if that guy's around, and I don't anticipate him being there, but maybe another trade is doable to trade up, I would strongly consider that. There's a guy by the name of Chris Braswell out of Alabama. He's a little slight at 250 pounds, but he can get off the edge. Didn't start a lot. I think he was a rotational guy along their defensive line, but he had 8.5 sacks. He had as many sacks as the defensive end out of Missouri, who was drafted in the first round. Darius Robinson, who's, by the way, from Canton, Michigan. Those are a couple of names. I'd love the Jackson Powers kid. Love that. That would be fantastic. I just don't think he's going to be there. And if you're looking for a possible wide receiver, you know, I'm not keen on the Jalen Polk is a kid out of Washington. He's 6'1", 203. I don't know about that. The D tackle out of Ohio State, who is it, Michael Hall? He might be there by the time Detroit picks in the second round. And the Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. Any of those names, if they happen to be there, or if they're close to it, and I had to give up a fourth or something like that, I'd strongly consider it. But you want to have picks. Remember, Detroit feels like they're just a couple of picks away, and they got a big part of it with Terrion Arnold. Hey, I want to thank everybody involved in the show here today, especially Rob Rubick for joining us, Ben, our producer, Tanya Barty for coming over from Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort and hosting us for the last couple of days. So really appreciate that. We'll be back with you Monday. Talk about the NFL draft and more. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the draft, everybody. We'll talk to you again here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network Monday morning at 6.
We played for the thrill, that rush you feel with the game on the line. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver. Now, with Eagle Casino and Sports, the new sportsbook app from Soaring Eagle, anywhere I'm at, I'm still in the game.
Sign up now and get up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000 for a risk-free bet on your next favorite underdog, parlay, or prop.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Josh Garvey. Now, he's a managing shareholder at Dorn Mayhew's Grand Rapids office. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state, and they have locations all around the world. They have over 550 motivated accounting professionals, 90 years in business, and I mentioned the 10 offices worldwide. So if you want to connect and partner with one of the top CPA accounting and business firms in the world, they're right here in Michigan. Dorn Mayhew's Troy office on the east side of the state. And Josh Garvey is a managing shareholder for their Dorn Mayhew GR office. Right there by the S-curve, you'll see the new Dorn Mayhew sign. You can find out more. Just Google Dorn Mayhew. That's DoreenMayhew or Dorn.com. They're one of America's and the world's top CPA accounting and business firms. They're Dorn Mayhew.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.